Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Tech News Today is provided by CashFly at CacheFly.com.
I'm so unpatriotic.
This is Tech News Today for Thursday, August 25th, 2011. Tech News Today is brought to you by Netflix. Watch thousands of TV episodes and movies on your PC, Mac, iPad, iPhone, or TV instantly. All streamed directly to you, saving you time, money, and hassle. For your free 30-day trial, go to netflix.com/twit. Welcome to Tech News Today. I'm Tom Merritt.
I'm Sarah Lane.
I'm Maya Zaktar.
I'm Darren Kitchen.
And I'm Jason Howell.
I almost forgot Jason. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Also joining us today, because we have so many people, Chris Knoll, editor of the Intuit Small Business Blog, is back with us. Thanks for coming back to the show, Chris.
The sixth wheel. I'm great to be. Happy to be here.
Please don't feel like that. You're the first wheel. We're just axles or something.
I'm the steering wheel.
You're right. That's right.
The most important.
Couldn't do it without you. Well, we have the end of an era and a new CEO to talk about today, but we'll get to Slashdot and AMD in a bit. Let's start off with Tim Cook emailing the Apple employees responding to Apple Steve Jobs resigning as CEO yesterday. We broke the story at the end of Tech News Today yesterday, thanks to sharp-eyed Ayaz Akhtar.
Because the chat room put it up in Twitter showing the routers flash, so thank you, chat room.
Thanks to the chat realm for tipping us off. Of course, we always have to go confirm these things because anybody can type anything. However, Tim Cook did send an email out to Apple employees today that was a little... Steve Jobs' letter yesterday to the board that was printed in the Wall Street Journal was not maudlin, but it was very much a goodbye letter. Even though he's staying on as chairman of the board of Apple and he remains an Apple employee, it definitely said, you know, I've made some of my best friends. You know, this is a hard decision, all of that sort of thing. Tim Cook said he's looking forward to the amazing opportunity. Steve has been an incredible leader and mentor. We are really looking forward to Steve's ongoing guidance and inspiration as our chairman.
And they will even, quote, continue to make Apple the magical place that it is. You got to work magical in there.
That's a good point. I cherish and celebrate Apple's unique principles. I love Apple. Looking forward and diving in my notes. It's all very positive. It's the kind of thing you'd expect a new CEO to try to send out and bolster the morale of the troops. Stock market reacted very conservatively. In after-hours trading, it dipped down. The stock price of Apple dipped down about 5%. And then today, it opened up and kind of bounced back. It lost $2.46, which is not even 1%. On closing of the stock market. And after hours trading, it was down a few cents. So really stable.
Considering the stock price is 200 and something, a couple dollars.
I think it's
not
maybe 300
and something. It's negligible.
So everybody is speculating on the world after Steve Jobs. But, you know, we've all got opinions. Let's just go around the table and get this over with. With Tim Cook as CEO, Steve Jobs in the chairman role, Darren, we'll start with you. What do you think is going to happen now?
I think it's going to continue to be magical. I have all faith in Tim Cook. Seriously. I mean, no, he's not. Nobody is going to be able to be Steve Jobs on stage during a keynote. But I don't think that's going to change the products that come out of Apple.
Ayaz?
I think this is, you know, vastly different than people comparing this to when Steve Jobs was removed, you know, years ago. This is completely different. This Apple that's left over.
He was essentially forced out. This is him voluntarily.
When he showed up, he recreated the entire board with supporters. And someone like Tim Cook, he surrounded himself with people that would be continuing his ideas for Apple. So the fact that Tim Cook is in charge is something he's done before in the past. And on top of that, I think the reason the stock price didn't drop so much is because people have been expecting this for so long. It's already been built into the price that Steve Jobs would one day leave as CEO. So that's what I think about this.
Is it a big deal? I mean, it's a big deal, obviously, but I mean, you know, how big of a deal is it, I guess, is the question.
Well, yeah, I think to sort of ride on Ayaz's point a little bit, this is something Steve Jobs has been ill for some time. So obviously the company has been thinking about this day for a long time, and he has a really strong management team. Yes, he's always been the commander in chief of everything. I mean, he's the founder of this company. He believes in this company. His word was law. He was always the boss, but he also has put together an excellent team of people who can run the show and helped him run the show. I think what worries me a little bit is the 5 years from now and beyond. I think in the short term, everything's good to go. I think Apple's going to run really smoothly without the visionary looking for the next big thing after these wonderful products that people love from Apple start to seem dated, I don't know where we'll be.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, Sarah. I am worried. I'm cautiously optimistic. I think Tim Cook is going to do great in the next few years. But yeah, what happens after iPad gets stale? What happens when iPhone is no longer the jewel that it once was? Is Tim Cook going to be too nervous and too cautious that he's treading on Steve Jobs' legacy? Or is he really going to be out there and able to innovate the way that Jobs did?
Or he could resurrect the Pippin and the Newton.
Yes.
I don't think that's going to happen, thankfully. Although the Newton's sort of been resurrected in a much better form. So maybe they could do the same with the Newton. I don't know. Maybe that's in their plans. Maybe that's Apple TV. My thoughts on the matter are that the real test of Steve Jobs' vision starts right now. This is a guy who thinks long term. He thinks in terms of changing the world. He is a friend of Stuart Brand, the Long Now Foundation member. This is a man who knew he was sick for years and has known and been able to plan for this moment. So he has done, I am certain, everything he can to inject the meme of his philosophy into this organization. And if he has done it right, the organization doesn't need him to continue to innovate and do the things that they do. He will have created an organization that can replicate that same vision on its own.
Well, the test begins today. That theory will be tested very, very strongly when iPhone 5 comes out.
Yeah, I suppose so. I mean, I think it'll be tested even more strongly in a year or two when Steve has been away from even medical leave duties. I mean, as chairman, he's still an employee, but he obviously is stepping away even further than just medical leave. He has been involved with the iPhone 5, don't you think?
Yeah, I would think that with the iPhone 5 launch, the focus would really be on Tim Cook's delivery in the shoes of Steve Jobs on stage.
Yeah, sure. All right, well, let's move on. There's other news out there. GameStop is responding to the controversy over their pulling of coupons from Deus Ex Human Revolution. We mentioned this yesterday. They were taking coupons for a free copy of the game on OnLive out of the boxes. GameStop has now reacted to the controversy by deciding to just not sell retail copies of Deus Ex Human Revolution until Square Enix provides them with boxed copies that don't have the OnLive coupon. The reason they object to the coupon is GameStop has an online store where you can buy digital copies of games. They would rather you spend your money at GameStop's website. So they're going to continue to sell the digital version. They're just going to pull all of the box copies from the shelves, send them back to Square Enix.
Did the headlines read, GameStop stop selling game?
They should have. That's a missed opportunity right there, yeah.
Come on, bloggers. Get on this.
Oh, I'm sure somebody has somewhere.
And Square Enix has said, look, you know what? GameStop was not made aware of the inclusion of this coupon. They have the right to have final say over the contents of the products they sell. So Square Enix is fully supporting GameStop in this.
And if you've already pre-ordered, you'll still get your copy. They're just sitting in the back waiting for you.
Gotcha.
It's definitely better than them opening up boxes, taking the coupon out, closing the boxes, and selling those.
Or having people come in and saying, is there a coupon in this box? Because I don't want to buy it if there's not a coupon in this box. Yeah, and GameStop people saying, you know what? Screw this. Let's just clear the shelf. We don't want to deal with it.
Yeah, it's a much cleaner way to go about it. RIM picked a heck of a day to announce their new service, BlackBerry Messenger
Music. This is just not a good day for announcements, is it?
BlackBerry Music allows you to build a personal music profile that is only 50 songs large. So this idea of enforced limitations that Apple has used to great effect, Twitter uses it by saying you can only get 140 characters, BlackBerry is applying it to music, saying, all right, $5 a month, you've got millions of songs to choose from the four major labels and plenty of indies, but you can only have 50 tracks on your personal profile, and you creative types out there can't just keep changing the 50 tracks to get away. You can only change 25 songs a month of your 50 tracks, and then they'll lock you down. The upside is every friend you make in the social network of BlackBerry Music gives you access to their 50 songs. So it's a very social approach.
Well, it's a real incentive.
You essentially have limitless.
Get as many users going as possible.
Exactly.
The other thing is like when this was rumored and it was going to be to BlackBerry Messenger was going to be tied in. I was like, well, how is that going to work? And this makes sense with the whole grouping thing. But what I'm most surprised with is actually RIM got the big companies in order. They got EMI, Sony Music, Universal, and Warner on board with this relatively quickly between the rumors and when this actually came out. It's about like a week or two. So, I mean...
Yeah, but if Pandora and Spotify can do it, then don't you think RIM would be able to?
Well, I mean, Google had trouble doing it, and I still think they haven't.
But, that, this
but
is
maybe
different
they've been working on it for quite a while.
Yeah, vastly different. You don't get to just choose what song you want. It's only, you know...
It did take Spotify quite a while in the U.S. to get something like this
This
going.
Is true, but, you know, I read this headline about, you know, RIM and the BlackBerry, and I just think, wow, this would have been so innovative like 5 years ago, and it's just so little too late, in my opinion.
Does anybody remember the Motorola Rocker? The
The first iTunes phone. Yeah.
Limited to 100 songs and a disaster.
Yeah.
I mean, you remember, how much money did Singular dump into that project at the time? A mess. People want unlimited music. Any limit, 200 songs, 1,000 songs is probably too little.
I agree. I think I see 50 songs and it's like, yeah, there's probably not really more than 50 songs that I like that much at one point. But as soon as you give me a limit, it's sort of like the apps that are, you know, like Path comes to mind, where you're limited to 50 friends. It's like, I don't want to be limited to 50 friends. All of a sudden, I'm very annoyed by this. I want unlimited. I want to build whatever I want to build.
That's just a social element, though. You can still have the songs on your BlackBerry if for some reason you have a BlackBerry.
Yeah. You just have to make the right friends.
And it's not really limited to 50. I mean, consider both of the RIM users are going to have 100 between them.
With the co-CEOs of RIM.
Yeah, Iaz at twit.tv.
Hate mail to Iaz at twit.tv.
So around the horn, good idea, bad idea, indifferent. I'm frankly indifferent. I think it's a good try, but it's not going to change RIM's fortunes one way or the other. What do you think, Iaz?
I think it's a good idea. RIM's got to try anything right now.
Darren?
2005, Darren says it was a great idea.
Chris?
Ridiculous.
Sarah?
I wouldn't say ridiculous. I think it is, everyone's got to get into the music game, so BlackBerry is no exception. But yeah, this isn't anything that would make me rush out and want to be part of RIM.
All right, let's take a quick break. We'll come back with Facebook's take on Instagram and some Skype integration finally coming to Microsoft. But first, free stuff. Netflix.com/twit. This will give you a free 30-day trial of unlimited streaming of music and TV shows. The service normally costs $7.99 a month. Streams to not only your laptop, not only your desktop, not only your tablet, your phone, your television, your game console, your set-top box, your Roku, your Apple TV, all those places. It's actually probably shorter to list the gadgets that Netflix hasn't figured out how to be available on. So if you haven't tried them out, go try them out for free, netflix.com/twit. Or if you have tried them out, but you know somebody who hasn't, tell them about the URL. It works for everybody, netflix.com/twit. Free 30-day trial. And we thank them for their support of Tech News Today. Facebook, according to the New York Times, has got an Instagram competitor in the works. New York Times reports that two engineers told them that photo filters would be coming soon to Facebook. CEO Mark Zuckerberg is holding off launching this until the engineers and artists have created more filters. He wants to have the best filters, the widest variety of them available. And New York Times says Facebook did try to acquire Instagram this summer, and when they didn't, They decided to go it alone. Do we need more filters for photos?
Yes, because Facebook introduced their Java app, so you can have it even on the worst phones, which usually have the sub-1 megapixel cameras. So to have the filters will hide the crappy photos.
Yeah, I was about to say, I was actually thinking the other day, why is it that, you know, we have these 5-8 megapixel cameras in our phones, and yet all they are is like the itsy bitsiest 1 millimeter CCD, and what we need is, you know, somebody like Olympus or Panasonic or somebody to partner. With with a phone manufacturer to come out with an actual camera phone that'll supplant that point and shoot that you take when you go to the zoo. That being said, you're right. When we've got these crappy of cameras, the only way you're going to make these photos look interesting is applying these horrid filters. And the amateur / pro photographer, whatever, in me will stand up for the staunchy, you know, Flickr people and say this is the demise of photography.
I don't know. I mean, my iPhone 4 takes pretty great pictures, and I still get a lot out of running them through filters. It just makes it look a little bit different, gives it kind of an artistic, creative spin. I think it's all about the kind of filters that they're going to offer. I mean, if it's just another Instagram, then I'm like, well, whatever. I actually import most of my stuff into Instagram running it through Camera Plus beforehand anyway, because Camera Plus has the best filters of them all, in my opinion. If Facebook can replicate something like that... Because, of course, that's where the majority of people's photos are going these days. And so many of the Facebook photos, at least in my collection, are really crappy. I'm into it. But again, it's like, if something that, if they're really going to be an Instagram killer, Instagram does something really well and it's very social. Facebook Places didn't replace Foursquare for me, which I think that it's doing something. The geolocation thing, it does really well. It's like, yeah, they gave me another option, but it didn't make me want to abandon my first option.
And in fact, they just tweaked Places, so it actually works less like Foursquare because they realized
it's just, you know, yeah, it's a Me Too thing.
Chris, do you use any of these kind of apps?
Not really. I'm still on MySpace. No, I
so you're the guy.
I hate taking pictures and I hate looking at other people's pictures. So the last thing I would do is put a filter on.
So this is definitely not going to sway
you. I respect his honesty.
Yeah, no kidding.
I hate your pictures. I'm not going to look at them.
Why does everything have to be so oversaturated?
Well, I understand why Facebook is trying this because Instagram, after only 10 months in only the iOS App Store, has more than 8 million users.
Yeah,
it's next to the 750 or whatever that Facebook has, but they're looking at some pretty fast success.
Well, yeah, but like the music service coming to RIM, it's not going to bring anybody to BlackBerry. I don't think this service coming to Facebook is going to bring anybody. Oh, Facebook now? I can use that to make cool photos?
Yeah, they're already
There's so many apps.
Well, what it might do is prevent people going to Instagram because they have it built in for the first time. They're, do I bother to try a new application or do I try Facebook, which is on everything?
Is it one of those just kind of squash the competitor? Don't even leave our walled garden here.
It adds to the social graph.
Yes.
Well, think about all those Android users who are still waiting for an Instagram app.
We are.
Right? Well, some people are.
Yeah,
they don't have one.
That's a good point. So they can bring it to platforms that Instagram hasn't gone to.
If they get used to using Facebook, then they don't care about Instagram once it becomes available, and I don't know why it's taking them so long.
Yeah. Well, we've got Vignette. I'm just saying.
There, you have other options.
The content management system? Oh, wait, no.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm so sorry I mentioned that now.
Let's move on to some Windows Phone 7 news. There's an event going on in New Zealand called TechEd where Microsoft employees are just making revelations right and left, apparently, regarding Windows Phone 7. Mango has been confirmed now to support a front-facing camera. We looked into this. The Fujitsu that we talked about yesterday that came out does not have a front-facing camera.
Right, but we'll be running Mango. If we look at the tweet from Windows Phone NZ, it says they just confirmed that Windows Phone 7 devices with forward-facing cameras were coming with Mango. So that doesn't mean every Windows Mango phone will have a front-facing camera. It means every front-facing camera that is on a
Not
phone
Not all
will
men
have.
Are Socrates.
Exactly.
But all
Which begs the question.
All men have front-facing cameras. So yes, Windows Phone 7 Mango will have support for front-facing cameras. Also, Microsoft's Link VoIP client will soon expand to other platforms outside of Windows Phone, including iOS, Android, and Symbian. Now, this with them about to buy Skype, which, I mean, Link is different than Skype, but, you know.
You mean a company with two competing products within itself?
Yeah, that's, and I guess they're going to try.
Almost never happens.
They're going to try to let those things battle it out or something. Yeah. Is that what's going to happen?
I would hope. I mean, that's the free market right there. But
they did mention that Skype integration will be coming soon. They didn't mention whether that means an app for Windows Phone platform or whether that means integration into the Mango operating system. Not at the New Zealand event, but at the same time, a screenshot of a Wi-Fi hotspot feature was published by WP Central. Rafael Rivera went and investigated and found that, connection sharing is indeed built into Mango. So, carriers are notorious for turning this sort of feature off, but it's another thing that Windows Phone will have. Chris, does any of this stuff get you more excited about Windows Phone 7?
Well, yeah, and I also read that you can have up to 50 songs on the device.
You can have more than 50 songs on Windows Phone.
And it has filters.
I mean, Windows 7's, Phone 7's going to be playing catch-up, it seems like, forever. I don't know anything that was going to get anybody excited about it unless you can get, up to 100 songs.
I know some people who are really, really excited because they like the features of the tile interface. They like the way it looks. They think it's pretty snappy. I guess the question is, what features does it have to not feel like it's too far behind?
Maybe a quad-core slate, huh?
That's not a feature of a phone.
No, yeah. But
it was a good attempt at transitioning us to the next story.
Thank you.
The other thing going on at the TechEd event in New Zealand, they showed off a quad-core Windows. Is it a Windows 7 slate or just a Windows slate?
A Windows slate.
It was running Windows 7.
They couldn't tell if it was 7 or 8.
Okay. So we don't know for sure, but it was a slate. And they said that, one blogger said that they claimed to be giving these devices away at the Build conference in September. Another blogger said that he didn't remember hearing anything about promises to give them away, but that the tablet would be shown off at the Build conference.
And it was running Windows 7, or at least that's what's being reported.
Okay. Yeah. That get you any more excited, Chris?
I would be more excited about the Slate specific OS than Windows 7 on a Slate.
Right, that would be Windows 8.
But Ballmer, it seems like, is totally behind running full scale Windows on the tablet, which is not working for me.
Well, when you go to build, they're supposed to provide you with a test build of Windows 8. That's the theory anyway. So if they have a quad core slate running Windows 8, then mm-hmm. that might satisfy what you're looking for.
And Windows 8 has that sexy new front end UI.
The Metro.
Oh yeah, it looks good.
You said sexy.
I did.
About a slate.
I say trust your techno lust every week.
Out. Okay, that's true. It's kind of your thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's made it. I'm bringing sexy back to tech here, okay?
Good.
All right, let's finish off with a story that may sound like a repeat from yesterday, because it sort of is. Samsung is really wanting to make clear to you that they're not interested in HP. We talked about the blog post yesterday, which was fairly clear, but then in an email to Wired.com, Samsung's CEO, Jo-Sing Choi, said, "To put to rest any speculation on this issue, I would like to definitively state that Samsung Electronics will not acquire Hewlett-Packard's PC business."
But what does he mean by that?
Yeah, let's parse this.
Wow.
I mean,
so coy, isn't
who
it?
Who says that corporations don't ever speak plainly? Look at this.
So you're saying there's no chance?
Yeah, pretty much. He went on to pretty much say, look, HP sells 40 million units, Samsung sells 10 million. That's too much of a difference in scale, and we have a complete lack of synergies between the two companies. Meanwhile, over on Bloomberg, Todd Bradley, who's the head of the Personal Systems Group, that's the PC division of HP, told Emily Chang, "We've lost clarity about what we announced." Backpedal, 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 backpedal. He called the sunsetting the touchpad a prudent business decision, and the announcement about the Personal Systems Group driven by advice from HP securities lawyers to be as transparent with its deliberations as possible. He avoided endorsing the decision to explore splitting the company. Although he did say it would, you know, it would probably be a Fortune top 60 company if it did split off.
Well, Curtis B's got this nailed down in the chat room. Samsung should teach HP about how to write press releases. Because Samsung is very clear. You know what Samsung is going to do. And HP and their cluster of a set of PR press releases became a mess. And now they have to clarify at the end of the week. Wow.
I still maintain that when you say we're pursuing strategic alternatives, your intention is to sell. I think what's happening here is they've realized that the stock market did not like the idea of it being sold, or at least not the way they communicated it, and they've got their main purchaser out there going, "No effing way in hell are we buying you." So now they've got to backpedal and figure out where to go from there.
I know the answer. Spin off Compaq.
I like this idea.
Actually, no, I'm down with this.
I brought up the idea of spinning off the Personal Systems Group and calling it Compaq.
Michael Vail, actually.
Yeah.
That was one of his tweets. He was pretty snarky about it all over the place. So Compaq, and it would be both? It would be consumer and enterprise?
No. You just spin off the consumer business for Compaq.
I just think they could bring back the iPac.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Bring back the Compaq desktop tower, because that's hot.
Yeah.
Mini towers, that's the way to go.
I mean, them and RIM could get together with 50 songs, and it'd be innovative.
I mean, honestly, I think...
Give me a Zoom, too.
HP, probably, in my opinion, I'd say I feel 73% confident they're going to spin off Personal Systems Group as a separate company.
That's not a base two number.
73%.
Yeah.
That's very specific.
Chris?
You've thought about this.
Yeah. Chris, what do you think?
Man, this company has gone through so many mergers and acquisitions. And God, if they do this, I just don't know how that could possibly be successful.
I mean, know how.
HP is already getting killed in desktops anyway.
They're making a lot of money.
They just call it Voodoo instead. I mean, they bought that too, so might as well. That's a much better name. And put Rahul back in charge.
You know what?
That guy, he's been writing on Twitter as well. Basically,
so crazy,
saying
it just might work.
How WebOS has a really good following. People are very angry about it being killed. So maybe there's a chance there.
Mm-hmm.
If they could only sell $1,500 PCs, that would be a great, great move. But people want to buy these $399 PCs. And that's where the trouble is, I guess, in HP's world.
Maybe they can just take it all back. You know what? We're just going to rethink this.
Kind of what it sounds like we're doing, yeah.
We're not going
like,
to spend anything.
Oh, you guys don't like that idea? Oh, we were kidding.
We like the touchpads also.
Yeah, exactly. Could you, those of you that bought it for $100, go ahead and throw us another couple of $100?
Yeah. We're going to up the price because it's a hit.
Hey,
I know we didn't ask for gas money up front, but now that we're here, if you guys could pitch
in. Hey, do you want a firmware upgrade to fix all that lagginess in that $99 tablet? That'll be another $99.
I hear you might have a problem with your firmware.
All right, let's move on to the news fuse. Speaking of HP cutting the price of the touchpad to $99, people took one look at that hardware and thought, what if I put Android on it? A couple people are claiming that the HP touchpads they received already were running Android 2.2 when they received them. The Android touchpad appears to be the work of Qualcomm because a Qualcomm Innovation Center logo flashes before the tablets start up. A ROM dump of an Android touchpad has been posted on Roots Wiki, and Android touchpads are showing up like crazy on eBay and Craigslist.
Samsung headed to court today to defend itself in Germany against Apple's accusations that the Galaxy Tab infringes Apple's community design. The court, which has banned sale of the Tab in Germany, decided to put off a decision until September 9th. In the meantime, the ban stays in place.
You know who we never talk about? Samsung. Samsung Galaxy.
What are they up to?
Galaxy S2 is coming to the U.S.
Samsung heavy.
But according to the Wall Street Journal, it's not coming to Verizon, which makes Jason very upset. But before you get too depressed, Boy Genius Report says Verizon may not get the Galaxy S2. It would be getting a Samsung phone with nearly identical specs under another name. So Samsung will hold its press conference to officially announce whatever they want on August 29th.
Yeah, they like naming everything Droid whatever, so maybe that's all it is.
You can hold.
You guys familiar with the Universal Plug and Play?
UPnP, you know me?
Well, it's a suite of protocols that allows computers and consumer electronics and a home network to communicate, but it also allows would-be hackers to scan the internal networks of residents using a host of home routers by Linksys, Atomax, Sitecom, and others. Now, the scanning tool, this is UMAP. It was released in June 2010 by Daniel Garcia, and has since been updated after his talk at DEF CON to 0.7 beta. And, to mitigate the attack, users are urged to disable the authentication-less UPnP protocol, or just listen to the latest security now and get all the geeky details as everyone kind of recovers from the DEF CON hangover and finally reports on this.
Starts
good
to
stuff.
React to this.
Yeah,
thing.
Yeah.
22-year-old Peter Gibson has been charged with conspiracy by Scotland Yard for attempting a DDoS attack on PayPal. The attacks were in response to PayPal no longer accepting contributions to WikiLeaks back in December 2010. Gibson was originally questioned by authorities in April and is believed to be connected to a kind of a fringe hacker group that just goes by the name Anonymous. I don't know if
we've heard of it.
So there could be a new operation called Prison for Packets?
Prison Ops.
Facebook has officially hit 1 trillion page views, according to Google, actually. The data was compiled by the Google-owned DoubleClick ad planner and also shows that in June, more than 870 million unique users visited Facebook, an average of 1,149.42 page views per user. And more unique visitors than Facebook's reported 750 million users. So a lot of bots going on here, hitting public profiles.
Sentient robots.
Something like that, taking over.
Making up for the fact that I never go.
You guys might not have noticed, but there's a big CEO shakeup that's going on right now.
No.
I was waiting for us to finally get to
what capacity?
Lenovo COO Rory P. Reed has left Lenovo and will be the head of AMD.
Way to bury the lead.
I know. I had a fight to get it even in the lineup. AMD has been without a permanent CEO since the departure of Dirk Meyer in January. What's that? You don't know about Rory Reed? Well, he only worked for IBM for over 20 years and led global operations for Lenovo. So good luck at AMD, Rory. We believe in you.
Go, Rory.
You know what I love? I love me some leaked documents, and an AT&T document leaked out showing that it would cost AT&T actually considerably less to build out its next-generation wireless network compared to actually purchasing T-Mobile. Now, AT&T is facing additional review by the FCC because of the document. It would actually cost AT&T under a measly $4 billion to bring LTE to 80 to 97% of the U.S., while AT&T wants to buy T-Mobile for $39 billion. So let those conspiracy theories continue. Right?
Still doesn't add up, AT&T.
FCC is actually buying or looking into this, which I would not have predicted. After 14 years and over 15,000 stories posted, Rob Malda, a.k.a. Commander Taco, is leaving Slashdot, the site he helped create. He did not indicate any plans other than spending time with his family. But we know it isn't an easy decision for him as he loses the ability to post. I mean, he gets to post comments, but he can't pick the stories anymore.
He could post as an anonymous coward.
He could do that, yeah. But just he can't choose the stories that go into the lineup. It is the end of an era in more than one arena today. We here at Tech News Today mod you up for interesting, Rob, and hope your karma always remains positive.
Mod up.
On to the randomizer.
Randomizer.
So, this is probably the best sport ever. It's being held in Finland, and it's world champion mobile phone throwing.
Oh, where do I sign up?
The Australians are the current champions. An Aussie identified as Elaine Young has done her country proud, winning the title. She took out the freestyle event, where judges award extra points for style and aesthetics, ahead of two Russians. Some tough competition there in mobile phone throwing. There were about 50 contestants from Finland, Russia, the Ukraine, the U.S., and Australia who all took part. According to the championship rules, the devices are provided by the organizers who collect them from mobile phone dealers. So no juicing your frustration by using some
curved glass,
like old Motorola Razr or something to really build up your frustration before you toss it.
Are you kidding? I'd go with like a first-gen StarTAC.
Yeah, well, it might have better carry. That's more for the shot put.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And it has to be completely human-propelled. No slingshots or anything like that here.
Finland's Oskari Heinonen won the men's category with a 76-meter throw, while his compatriot Netta Karvinen clinched the women's distance event with a 48-meter throw.
Wonderful.
We've all been there.
The Olympics soon. Yeah.
Phone throwing is totally over. The future is tablet throwing.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's been well.
I don't know why the IOC has not recognized either of those events as Olympic sports, but I'm pushing for them as demo events in 2012.
We're banana phone throwing.
Make it so.
Let's move on to the calendar.
On this day, way back in 1991, Linus Torvalds, a 21-year-old university student from Finland, writes a post to a user group asking for some feedback on a simple kernel for a Unix-like operating system that runs on an Intel 386 processor. Would eventually be called Linux.
And history is made. That's essentially the 20th birthday of Linux, right?
Yeah.
Not as cool as BSD. I'm just going to put that out there.
It was very believable.
That was funny.
PAX Prime kicks off in Seattle tomorrow. That's August 26th.
You're going to hear a lot more people talking like we just did there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The Samsung Galaxy Tab 7.7, the Galaxy Note, and the Wave 3 are all launching at IFA on September 1st. And Facebook has announced that its F8 developer conference will be on September 22nd.
Well, they always announce something cool at F8. Yeah. What do you think it's going to be? Any speculation from anybody?
iPad app.
That would be cool.
Might be. That's a good call. Yeah.
But I'm not
JavaScript F key mappings. F1 for chat.
F8.
F2 for wall.
Oh.
F3
I thought
you were
just playing off the name of the conference.
Yeah. F5 for refresh page.
Video
filter. The new group messaging Skype integration.
Chris Null will be giving the photo keynote.
That's right. And 50 songs.
50 song limit to your Facebook accounts. All right, let's go to the voicemail.
Wonderful.
We go to the phones and Nathan tells about his experience at a local GameStop. Oh, we can't play the actual voicemail, though.
This is Nathan at Nathan B. Lawrence on Twitter. I just want to let you know that the guys at my local GameStop are sort of devoted to screwing over corporate. So when I asked for it, they gave me it with the card without having to do anything. That is all.
That's probably the real reason GameStop decided to just stop selling them altogether. It's like, we actually can't get our employees to cooperate with this rule. So
they're like, we're not. Can't find it.
That's not the only instance. We've got another voicemail, same thing. Apparently that if you want the code when they were selling it, you could just get it.
Let's move on to some emails. First one comes from Chris.
Hey, Chris in Portland says, hey, TNT crew, I just wanted to say a small congratulations on your 314th episode, or 3.14. Yeah, I'm just that geeky. Though your episode happens in August, and August traditionally being a slow tech news month, I wonder what you'll be talking about today. Best wishes and see you on your Tau Day.
You know, I've had a lot of discussions with people about the fact that August has not been terribly quiet news-wise, right. Although it's been very shallow. Like, once you get past the big bombshells, there isn't a whole lot. still.
So you're saying there's not a whole lot of depth to the big story in the A block here with Apple?
Well, no, not to the individual stories, but I'm saying that, you know, past these like Motorola, Google, HP spinoff, WebOS, Steve Jobs resigning, like those are bombshells, they're huge, but then there aren't a whole lot of other stories going on.
How many stories do you need for it to be exciting, Tom?
15 a day.
This has been a pretty exciting...
50!
Ideally, it would be 15 a day. Yes. Show. Yeah.
50 stories!
We've had a bunch of bombshells.
50 songs. 50 stories, 50 songs. What do you want?
All right. Justin writes in and says, just wanted to send a quick email to correct a few things Tom said about OnLive yesterday. He mentioned that there was a fee involved with OnLive, or that it cost for the service, but that the Deus Ex game would be free that you were talking about yesterday. The code was given out for, but the OnLive service is actually free. There are no costs involved other than renting or purchasing games, or if you want to sign up for their all you can play pack plan for $9.99 a month, that gives you unlimited play to over 85 games for that flat fee. Well, that's what I meant, Justin, is you have to pay to play most of the games, although he does point out there's some free demos. You can freely demo anything you wish. So sorry if I made that confusing, but all I meant is you usually have to pay for the games and you get Deus Ex free with that coupon. However, the other thing he corrects me on, I actually did totally screw up. He says the online service doesn't run in your browser. You actually download a small client to your desktop. OnLive runs on PCs, Macs, your TV via the small OnLive game system, and coming this fall via iPad, Android tablets, and smartphones. And he's right. I don't know why I said in a browser. You have to download the client, but it's essentially any kind of PC that you could possibly still be using, with few exceptions.
Well, how are you going to download online the client without a browser?
That's a good point.
There
yeah,
you go.
See, Justin?
That's what he meant.
Thanks. That's what I totally meant when I... No, it's not. Thanks to all of our Redditors, technewstoday.reddit.com, for submitting stories, voting things up and down, helping us pick what we talk about on the show. Sean, Milliken, White Hat TX, Beaver 420, Enjoy What You Have 83, and CompFixer 87, all in there, along with many others. Go to technewstoday.reddit.com to help us select what we pick on each day's show. Don't forget, you can also buy bricks at bricks.twit.tv that will go into our studio. Your name, message, logo can all be up on the wall over there, bricks.twit.tv. Thanks, Chris Knoll, for joining us again. Great to have you along. Let folks know where they can find more of you on the internet.
Always a pleasure to be here. Check out my blog at blog.intuit.com for anything small business and a lot of tech, too.
And we will be back tomorrow. Josh Topolsky, editor-in-chief of This Is My Next, a.k.a. The Verge, will be with us. Until then, we'll see you at twit.tv/TNT. You can email us, tnt@twit.tv, or give us a call, 260-TNT-SHOW. We'll see you tomorrow.